Hey everyone, this is Colm Kelly. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Beat on Rotoviz Radio. Each week on the Fantasy Football Beat, I'm joined by an NFL beat reporter to break down one of the biggest games of the week. And on today's show, my guest is going to be Grant Cohen of the Press Democrat. He covers the 49ers for the team, and we'll be discussing their contest coming up as they host the Seattle Seahawks in Week 12. I'll be looking ahead to some of the key players, key matchups involved that we think is going to help decide that game. We'll be talking about Kyle Shanahan, his role as head coach since coming over from the Atlanta Falcons. We'll be talking about Carlos Hyde, Jimmy Garoppolo, talking a little bit about the Seattle Seahawks as well and how Russell Wilson has done over the course of the season. So it should be a fun show, and I'm looking forward to talking with Grant in just a little moment. After we talk, I'm going to take a few moments to recap what we discussed, use some of the apps up on rotoviz.com to dive deeper into the game from a fantasy football perspective. And of course, for those of you who don't know, Rotoviz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. You can check out all the apps, all the great articles up there on rotoviz.com, and I highly recommend just having a nice little look around the site. Lots of great content up there. Obviously, the season is moving along. It is week 12. Some of our fantasy teams aren't going as well as they could be. Some of them are heading straight for the playoffs, and obviously those are the teams we want to have. But maybe your season isn't going the way you want, and you want to have a little bit more fun this weekend as we go. I'm a Packers fan, and the Packers season hasn't been going all that great for me, and having a little bit more fun at the weekend with a couple of wagers involved. Maybe not on the Packers, because that is just not a winning proposition at the moment, but we can look at it. Maybe some prop betting, and you can do all that with MyBookie. They are the bookmaker that I use. They are, in my opinion, the best in the business. It is MyBookie.ag, and I've been using them over the last kind of 18 months, and there's absolutely no reason for me to think about looking anywhere else with the great service that they have provided. They have a great all-new mobile site, a great app that you can use while out and about on your phone, whether you're just watching the game, want to click on a bet on your iPad. It's so easy to do it, and of course they have great player perks, and one of those player perks is if you sign up and use my code ROTOBEAT while signing up, they'll match your deposit for 50%. That offer is available this week only as we head into those Thanksgiving games, and that is a 50% sign-up bonus using that code ROTOBEAT. And of course, as I mentioned there is already, that website is mybookie.ag. Some great value around this weekend, some great propositions I think that we could win some money on. But as we look into this one, on mybookie.ag, we have the San Francisco 49ers at home. They are 7-point underdogs in this one. So the Seattle Seahawks, obviously 7-point favorites, is -105 for the Seattle Seahawks and -115 on that +7 for the 49ers. When we look at it then, it's -300 Seattle on the money line, +240 for the San Francisco 49ers. Over under is 43. So some interesting propositions, and I'm interested to see what Grant has to say about the game, how he thinks it's going to go. Obviously them 7 points, quite a large number to be putting up on the road for the Seahawks, who haven't traveled particularly well over the last couple of seasons, and obviously lost on Monday Night Football. So let's get straight to it and see what Grant has to say about the game, and let's get him on the show right now. Delighted to be joined now on the show by Grant Cohen of the Press Democrat. Grant covers the 49ers for the team, and you know, if you're looking for 49ers news on social media, particularly on Twitter, Grant is your go-to there. I have to say, throughout the season, you've been doing a fantastic job with the Press Democrat. So it's my pleasure now to be able to talk to you on the show as we preview this matchup.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be on the show with you.
Obviously, we're looking ahead now to Week 12, and I've mentioned this on all the shows. It's hard to believe we're already at Week 12 of the season, but with it being Week 12 and Week 10, we've seen the 49ers get their first win of the season. They were 0-9. They have moved now to 1-9. C.J. Beathard threw for 288 yards and 2 touchdowns, ran for a third score as the 49ers won their first game, as I mentioned, 31-21 over the New York Giants. Obviously, it was the first win under Kyle Shanahan, and obviously no team wants to go with a losing record the entire season, so at least they got that off their back. But what was your biggest takeaway from that game, obviously, as they moved into the bye week?
From that game was that Kyle Shanahan, I'm not saying he came into his own as a head coach in that game, but if he goes on to become a successful head coach, we'll look back at that as the game where he sort of figured out the job. Because to me, one of the main reasons the Niners were 0-9 before that game started, I mean, obviously the talent isn't there, but it's not an awful, awful team. It's just young. One of the reasons that they were 0-9, they lost a lot of close games, and to me, the team had a total lack of leadership from the head coach down. A better head coach wins some of those close games. To me, he was still just an offensive coordinator and a challenge one, because he's using the same scheme he used last year with inferior players, and it's a scheme the rest of the league has digested, and had a chance to figure out how they want to defend it. So he needed to step up and enforce a standard of performance, a standard of quality in terms of discipline and focus and intensity that the team was going to rise to, not just a scheme. He needed to offer more than a scheme. And I thought in this game against the Giants, a lot of 0-9 teams would have packed it up and not played very hard or very smart or very clean. But the Niners played a very clean, professional game. Obviously, they were playing a bad team, but if they had played sloppy like they did earlier in the season, they wouldn't have beat the Giants. So they did what they needed to do. They played like there was still something on the line, and Shanahan gets credit for bringing that out of his players. So I think that was the game that Shanahan went from being an over-promoted offensive coordinator to a real head coach.
That's a very fascinating way to look at it, because we look at players coming into the league and sometimes we see rookies struggle. Well, there's obviously a big step as well coming from college to the NFL, and obviously there's a big step going from offensive coordinator to head coach. So very interesting perspective as you put in there. And obviously they had those close games early in the season, so a big step forward as they were able to get that win. So they're coming off the bye. They are 1-9, as I mentioned. They're already obviously out of playoff contention. They're in contention for that number one overall draft pick in 2018. General manager John Lynch admitted this week it'll be helpful for everybody to see and be able to evaluate what they have now in their potential new franchise quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. It probably isn't an ideal time to put him in as they face the Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, the Seahawks lost on Monday Night Football, but do you think we will see him be put into the spotlight and make his debut this week, or do you think it's a case where Bethard has earned enough rope to be able to get another game or two as we move along in the season here?
You know, it's a great question, and it's one that we may find out the answer to very shortly. John Lynch is going to speak with local reporters in about half an hour. That hasn't even been reported, but that's going to happen. So we may find out soon. I'm thinking that, I'm just guessing, and this is not a very well-informed guess, but I'm thinking that they may not start him because, I mean, they're keeping this very quiet. I'm thinking that they may not start him for this particular game coming up against the Seahawks and then wait. Well, the way I see it is Bethard played so well against the Giants, it makes it hard to sit him at this point. Teammates believe in him. He just put up great numbers, like 6 incomplete passes the whole game. I think if you bench him now and Garoppolo doesn't play as well, it brings up uncomfortable questions and issues. I think what the Niners could do is just say, look, Bethard is the hot hand. Garoppolo's still learning. We have no reason to make this switch right now when Bethard's playing well. Let's just keep it going week to week. And if Bethard falls in his face, then you can bring Garoppolo in at halftime or the next week. So we'll find out soon, but I'm guessing they're going to wait one more week until Bethard maybe comes back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, and obviously we're recording this one on Tuesday, so you may have already heard what is happening with Jimmy G as of the time you're listening to this show. But with Jimmy Garoppolo as well, I guess, you know, we've seen what happened with Nathan Peterman up in Buffalo this past week, so you don't want a situation like that, and we see a similar situation going on with Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota. So maybe it's better just to, you know, if it's a case where Bethard falls flat in his face, you can take Jimmy off the bench in the second half and the crowd gets behind him a little bit more, less expectation at that point. So again, the other question with him is, I guess we have to ask, they have to sign him long term going forward?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think when you give up that type of compensation, the second round pick, which is really like a late first, you're committed. I mean, I hear people talk about the Niners still need to evaluate Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that period is over. I mean, they've given up a really high draft pick for the guy. That means they're all in with him. They want him to be there. They've said they want him to be their quarterback of the future. Whether or not he is that guy is a different issue, but you can't just give away that draft pick for an 8-game rental. I mean, that's unacceptable. That would be the biggest failure if they just let him get away, or if they sign him to a franchise contract and never convince him to stay long term, and he gets away in a year or two, maybe even goes back to the Patriots after Tom Brady retires. I think it's kind of strange that the Niners haven't already extended his contract. I think more experienced, entrenched general managers would at this point. But I think there was a lot of desperation from John Lynch, who's in his first year, doesn't have a background in this, wanted to show his peers and the league that he knows what he's doing and that he's making progress. So I think I'm guessing the Patriots brought this offer to him. And even though he didn't have an extension in place, he went for it because he wanted people to praise him and he wanted the organization to feel optimistic that there is a future. So they need to sign him to a contract, a long-term extension. And you wonder what will happen if Garoppolo goes in a game this weekend, for example, and doesn't play well. Would that sour him and his agent from playing long-term? Or would that sour the Niners? I mean, would they try to use that against him in contract negotiation leverage? Say, look, you came in and your numbers weren't that good. I mean, they weren't even that much better than Beathard, or they were worse than Beathard. So let's calculate what you're really worth on the open market. And the Niners may be able to get him for cheap, or there could be some type of bad blood between the two parties. It'll be interesting to see what happens if Garoppolo doesn't play well when he comes in. On the other hand, if he plays very well, he can make a whole lot of money, because everyone knows he doesn't have a supporting cast here.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. It's going to be very interesting to watch as we move forward here. And obviously, we're looking back now to the game coming up here in Week 12. The Seahawks, as I mentioned, are now 6-4 after that 34-31 loss to the Falcons last night on Monday Night Football. So the injury reports, usually this show is recorded on Thursday or Friday, so the injury reports obviously are nowhere near being set at this point in time. So rather than talk about who we think is on the injury report, is there any key injuries previous to the bye and coming through the bye? Is there anyone that we need to watch out for this week that may miss out for the 49ers?
Well, I think we need to watch George Kittle and Trent Taylor, see where they're coming from. And then obviously Solomon Thomas. There was some noise that he was going to play last game and then he didn't. So I think the expectation would be that he'd be ready to go. Tank Carradine may come back. So they may have some reinforcements on defense. Those are the big ones off the top of my head. Pierre Garçon's out for the year. Those would be the big ones. Sorry, one more would be Adrian Colbert. He broke his thumb, had a procedure. He'll either play this week or next week, and probably with a cast on his hand.
Yeah, so that's going to be one to keep a close eye on as we progress through the week. Obviously, if we're looking at the key matchups and how we expect this one to go, I guess up for us, they have the 49ers run game. The Seattle Seahawks defense has been getting a little bit better against the run, but again, they did let up some yards on Monday Night Football. They are tougher than anything that the 49ers did see in Week 10, obviously, against that Giants defense. So as we move forward, the 49ers and getting Hyde going has been something that they haven't really done on a consistent basis throughout the season. When they did play at the start of the season, we've seen Carlos Hyde run in that one there in Week 2 for 124 yards against the Seahawks, and it was his best game of the season. We've seen Kyle Juszczyk been used pretty heavily in the passing game over the last couple of weeks. He caught 5 or 6 targets against the Giants. So when we're looking at how we're seeing this backfield shake out, do you think we're going to see, obviously with Beathard in there, or if it is Jimmy Garoppolo, do you think we'll see a heavier dose of the run game going forward? And I've been pretty impressed with what we've seen from Matt Breida so far this season. So how have you felt those backs have played so far this season, and how do you see it factoring in as the season progresses now?
Well, it seems to me that the Niners had so much success running the ball in their first game against the Seahawks, and the fact that they won last week, really running the ball, running 33 times and passing 25 times, I believe the numbers were. Everything tells the Niners they need to run in this game. One of the reasons they lost to Arizona a couple weeks ago was they called 58 passes and 16 runs for running backs. That was out of whack. The Niners caught a lot of heat from it in the press locally here, and they adjusted immediately to call more runs. Obviously, the Niners should be calling more runs. I mean, coming into last week's games, they were leading the league in passes per game, which is all messed up because their best player on offense is their running back, and their offensive line can't pass protect. So obviously, they need to be running. I would expect a lot of Carlos Hyde against the Seahawks this week, and a lot of Carlos Hyde the rest of the season. I mean, I think the Niners are still deciding whether they want to re-sign him long-term, and they're not going to make up their mind until they see that he plays an entire season without getting injured, because he hasn't done that yet in his career. So I think he has a lot to prove.
It's been a strange situation, you know, throughout the offseason. You mentioned John Lynch, and when he came in as, you know, in his first year, there was a lot of talk this offseason that they didn't really want Carlos Hyde. He was on the trade block, and it went on and on and on. And yet again, when he is getting the opportunity, he has been playing quite well. So we'll see what happens the rest of the way. And at this stage, I'd be kind of surprised if they do keep him long term. And the rest of the 49ers offense, obviously there's no kind of denying the importance of having Joe Staley back in the lineup. This against the Giants prior to the bye, Beathard wasn't sacked, he was hit just twice, so that's a very stark contrast. I know you mentioned the pass attempts against Arizona, but he got hit 16 times in that game. So another improvement for the 49ers this past game was that they went 8 of 12 on third down. So again, it's maybe the offense, and you mentioned Kyle Shanahan stepping up as the coach, but maybe the offense is starting starting to figure out this, you know, scheme and, you know, just getting a little bit more rounded as we go on. Have you seen the offense behind Kyle Shanahan? Is there more evidence that it is becoming kind of more inbuilt into the players in recent games? They're starting to understand some of his concepts a little bit better?
I think that's part of it, certainly. But I don't think it's the whole thing. I think you have to really keep in mind that the Niners played a very bad team. I mean, the Giants defense in particular, they were like last in the league in sacks. So a lot of that pass protection or the fact that that Bethard only got hit twice and sacked zero times, I mean, that might be less the Niners and more the Giants. I'll be very interested to see how the Niners offensive line protects when they're facing Michael Bennett and Deion Jordan and Frank Clark. So that'll be a better test. But what really, I mean, I think that there is something to what you're saying, though. I looked at the numbers from the past three games, and a lot of key areas, both on offense and defense, the Niners have improved yards per play, things like that. And I think you can definitely attribute that to players learning these systems. It's going to take a little while, especially with the way the NFL is now and since all the abbreviated practices in the offseason. It takes a while to learn these systems. So, yes, I would see that. But to me, what was most important, most impressive about what the Niners did in their last game was just the lack of penalties, the lack of false starts, that kind of baseline stuff that you have to do in order to win games. Scheme is secondary. Scheme is important, but if you can't do the basics right, you have no chance. So the Niners finally got to that stage. They finally did the basics, did the bare minimum that it takes. You have to do to win a game, especially when you're not loaded with talent. So what I want to see now is they've had a week off. Can they sustain it? Can they do this two games in a row, or was that just a total fluke against a bad opponent?
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It's definitely, you mentioned there, you know, with Bennett and Co. Clark getting to put some pressure on this offensive line this week. It's going to be a very good test. Obviously, there's quite a number of players from the Seattle Seahawks. You know, we know the Legion of Boom. They're kind of the Legion of backups at this point in time with Strong Safety Cam Chancellor out for with a neck injury, and you also have Richard Sherman lost a few weeks ago with his Achilles injury. So there's a lot of players missing, and it's just not what we had in the past. The front of that their defensive line is still there, but you know, there is opportunities to take advantage of this team. We've seen that again on Monday Night Football. So can the 49ers offense take advantage of some of those maybe deficiencies, what we call them, in the Seattle Seahawks defense?
Well, if they can protect Bethard, the answer is yes. I would say absolutely, but that's the question. I mean, can they keep Bethard upright? They haven't been able to do it at all this season except for the one game. And is that an indication of improvement or just one bad opponent? And it's impossible to know until this Sunday. So yes, they can exploit these deficiencies down the field, but they need to give Bethard time to do so. And I think I will say one more thing about the Seahawks. They're interesting because right now they're 6-4, and that's with Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson wasn't their quarterback, if he got hurt like Aaron Rodgers got hurt for Green Bay, they wouldn't be a good team. I mean, they're barely 500 now. If he were to get
he's
hurt,
he's playing amazing,
out of his mind. He's like the entire offense. Running and passing. So this is not a very good team. There's holes all over the place. They do have some good players. Bobby Wagner's good. Michael Bennett's good. Some good players, but really this isn't a good team. This is Russell Wilson doing a lot of stuff by himself.
Yeah, you could see this team without Russell Wilson really struggle. You know, they really would be down there with the 49ers, yeah, with the Browns, and what they're trying to do. And we've seen with the Packers losing Aaron Rodgers just how much they've struggled. So we'd see something very, very similar. So when we're looking then, obviously, at the 49ers defense trying to stop the Seattle Seahawks offense, you mentioned, obviously, Russell Wilson. And they have stuttered at times this season. They've really struggled in the run game. It's pretty much been Russell Wilson improvising, making plays to get the job done. He almost got the job done on Monday Night Football. He went 28 of 42. He had 258 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. He also was a leading rusher. He had 86 yards and a touchdown on the ground. So he's dominating as a quarterback. But again, the offensive line is pretty much a turnstile at this point in time. So how do you see the 49ers trying to slow down this Seattle offense? We talked about the 49ers offensive line. Well, the Seahawks offensive line may be one of the worst in the league at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, them and the 49ers. But what's interesting, the way I think about this is the matchup from week two, I believe it was. You know, the Niners really did a good job against Russell Wilson as a passer. I think his pass rating was 75. Now, a lot of those players that were on the defense in that game are hurt. But still, I mean, Reuben Foster will play. He didn't play in that game. I think the Niners, they've shown this particular defense can give Wilson problems as a passer. The reason they lost that game was they couldn't keep him in the pocket. whenever he kept the ball in his own range, he got a first down. And then on the final drive of the game, when they scored their only touchdown in the game, they went hurry up. And Russell Wilson had a couple of two or three long runs that extended the drive and ultimately led to the win. So the Niners, what they need to do is keep him in the pocket. And that's the same for every team when they face him. If he gets out and starts scrambling around, you're going to lose. So they need to make getting the sack secondary to keeping him in the pocket. That's more important. Make the little guys throw over the big people. The Niners have six linemen. Make Wilson throw over to Forrest Buckner. That's more important. And what I'm interested to see is last week, Ronald Blair looked really good. You know, he looked better than Solomon Thomas has played all year. Ronald Blair actually worked the edge of a guy instead of going right in the middle of him, got around the guy twice, the right tackle for the Giants, and had two sacks and a fumble. I'm curious to see what Ronald Blair can add to this team and if they stick with him even if Solomon Thomas comes back.
Yeah, and he should obviously get an opportunity to work this offensive line, as I mentioned, with the struggles. But you mentioned Russell Wilson, and sometimes the worst thing you can do is, you know, be ready to get him sacked, and then you often see him spin around to his right-hand shoulder and spin out of the play.
Right.
We've seen it, I think it was against the Cardinals 2 weeks ago, where he actually spun out of it twice and passed the ball to Doug Baldwin for almost
right.
a touchdown. So it's just crazy what he can do with his improvisation. So that is, I think, going to be one of the key areas if they have any chance this week, is to stop him from breaking the pocket. So,
yeah. And you know, the Niners' problem is you need speed. Like, when Russell Wilson starts doing all that stuff and starts spinning around and running, the reason he can do it is because there are very few defensive ends, defensive linemen who can run with him. And the Niners, to me, don't have anyone like that. I mean, Elvis Dumervil is old. Ronald Blair isn't fast. Solomon Thomas isn't fast. Aaron Lynch, who won't play, isn't fast. So they can get to him, but then they've really had a tough time corralling him, even since the days when the defense was great and they had Alden Smith. You really need someone, that rare 6'4", 250-pound guy who runs a 4.5. And the Niners don't have that guy. Very few teams do. That's why he's so good.
Yeah, those guys are very, very hard to find. So we've gone through quite a few different topics, but is there any other that we maybe haven't touched on that you think will be a key in deciding what happens on Sunday?
Well, one thing that struck me a few minutes ago is Russell Wilson will be facing this 49ers defense that is based on his own defense. It's the defense he faces every week, every day in practice, and the defense he faced last night. The Falcons run the same thing the Niners do. So he has had so much experience going against what he will face. And not just that, not just the practice experience, but he's coming off this, full speed, real game run through of what he's going to face Sunday night. So that's an advantage for him. Over the Niners. The advantage for the Niners is they get more rest. They're coming off a bye week, and the Seahawks are coming off a short week. They just played last night. They have six days to prepare. The Niners had, 14? So that's an advantage for them. I think the Niners definitely can compete in this game. The Seahawks are not that good. It'll be very interesting to see. I don't know who I'm going to pick yet.
Well, I guess I'll put you on the spot in just a little moment to see what you think. But obviously, it's been a tough season for the 49ers fans. And I want you to, as we start to get towards the end of this segment, I want you to give, maybe there's some 49ers fans listening in, give them something positive. Do you think the team is moving in the right direction at this point?
I can't say that it's moving in the right. Well, I'll say that it took a step in that they didn't have a head coach a couple of weeks ago, and now they have a head coach. I don't know if he's going to be a good head coach. Part of me is a little skeptical on Kyle Shanahan. You know, there's a lot of history of offensive coordinators, very good ones, who can't become leaders and head coaches because the job is so different, and it's really, there's not enough hours in the week to do both well, and he's trying to do both jobs well. And to me, he was failing until this last week. So at least he took a step in his abilities to lead and enforce a standard of play. Beyond that, I think what's promising is the defense has played well. I think the defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, has improved steadily all offseason. He has the defense playing very hard. And what was hurting them earlier in the season was penalties on third down. They were just the worst third down defense in the league. They were good against the run, but they couldn't get people off the field because they would commit so many penalties. And since they've gotten rid of Rashard Robinson, they've been better on third down because Rashard Robinson just grabbed people. I mean, that was his technique of coverage, was just to hold. So now that he's gone, the defense has improved. I do think there's a lot of young talent on that defense, a lot of first, second, and third round picks, and a good young coordinator who has no experience but has, I think, has a promising future, and I think they'll keep him for next year. So what they have going forward is a defense that's gelling and young, and an offense that may be turning the corner. They still haven't figured out their quarterback situation, but at least they have a good problem. They have two guys who seem promising and one guy who they like very, very much. Besides that, they need an overhaul in the offensive line. They need a number one wide receiver. They're probably going to need another running back because Carlos Hyde's probably going to get a lot of money on in the free agent market and go somewhere else. So they still have a lot of building to do on offense, but it seems like they have a foundation on defense and maybe a quarterback, so that's promising.
Yeah, so at least there's some positivity there. And you mentioned that you didn't want to, you know, you didn't know who you were going to pick. But when I look at this game and you see that the 49ers won, a lot of the time you see the team, they have no wins on the season and they're afraid of finishing the season 0-16. They put in that big effort to get the win. Sometimes then when they come back in the next game, they fall flat. And there's a possibility of that happening. We mentioned the Seahawks losing on Monday Night Football. They now, with the way the Rams are going, pretty much have to win this game to keep, you know, in that wild card run for the rest of the season. So when you're looking at the game on Sunday, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Which way do you think this one goes?
Okay, I could change my mind later in the week, but on the spot right now, I think I may choose the 49ers simply because, as I said earlier, I think the key in the game is keeping Russell Wilson in the pocket. And the Niners simply didn't have the players to do that in the first matchup because Navarro Bowman couldn't move. He couldn't change directions. He couldn't spy Russell Wilson. And Ray Armstrong is one of the most undisciplined players. You can always get him going the wrong direction. He's athletic enough. He's just not smart or aware as a player. So now the Niners have two totally different inside linebackers. They have Brock Coyle, who knows his assignments and is a smart player. He's in the right place, at least. And they have Reuben Foster, who is more talented than anyone else than Ray or Navarro Bowman. So I think in critical third downs, the Niners will spy Russell Wilson with Reuben Foster, and I think that will be more effective than whatever they were doing in the last game. So I think they'll have a better, more ammunition to keep Russ to do what they need to do against Russell Wilson, which will keep the game more competitive. So as of now, that's my pick, and that's the reason why.
Yeah, and obviously I mentioned we're recording this one on Tuesday, so a lot of things can happen between now and Sunday. But Grant, it's been a lot of great information there. Really fascinating to get a deeper look into the 49ers, because obviously with the team struggling this season, the mainstream media hasn't been covering them as much as many of the other teams in the NFL. So good to get a little bit of a deep dive into the 49ers. Of course, the listeners can follow Grant on Twitter. It's at Grant Cohen, and follow all the great work he does with the Press Democrat as well as covering the team. So Grant, thank you very much for jumping on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Take care.
Thanks once again to Grant for coming on the show. Lots of great information, as I mentioned when we were recording. We did record that on Tuesday, and of course I'm recording this segment a little bit later in the week as we look more at a fantasy football perspective, and injury news is a bit more up to date and so on and so forth. So I'm going to be recapping what we talked about, diving a little bit deeper into it using the apps on rotoviz.com as well in just a little moment. But the season, as I mentioned, is here. It is week 12. It's just steamrolling straight through, but it's still a perfect time to sign up for a Rotoviz NFL pass. It is never too late. You can get ready for next season. You can be preparing, get ahead of you, get that leg up on your teammates, be ready for next year. Get the great information provided on rotoviz.com, and of course throughout the offseason we'll be providing great information, and you can get that early advantage as you get ready for your drafts, whether it's best ball, whether it's dynasty, whether it's redraft. We have it all covered on rotoviz.com. So that NFL pass is available 30% off, and you can get that at the NFL podcast homepage. That is rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription will give you unlimited access to all our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. So again, be sure and get that 30% off. It's 30% off. It's a great bargain. Buy yourself a present. We're coming up. We're at the holidays for Thanksgiving. We're coming up to the holidays for Christmas. Make this your Christmas present. Make it your Thanksgiving present. Say thanks to yourself for having such a great fantasy football season, and go to rotoviz.com/podcast. Get yourself signed up to that Rotoviz NFL pass. So I recorded that part with Grant earlier in the week. I'm recording this one now on Friday. So when we're looking through it, I'm just going to give a little bit of update on the injury report when we look at it from the 49ers perspective. The only player really of any question is safety Adrian Colbert. He mentioned that thumb injury, did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday. So he is at this moment in time questionable for the game coming up this weekend. So we'll see what happens on Friday. I mentioned recording this early Friday morning. So that is all really that is, you know, any doubt for the 49ers on the Seahawks side. Obviously, they played on Monday Night Football. They have quite a number of names on the injury report here who have not practiced. They have a couple of guys in, though, that haven't practiced, and it's based not on injury, just on whether it's giving them rest or whether it's, you know, family time, whatever's happening. We have Michael Bennett, who hasn't practiced this week. Bobby Wagner has not practiced this week with a hamstring injury, but it is, you know, there seems to be a confidence that he will play. Obviously, when I mentioned with his defense and all the injuries, obviously, both of those guys are key members of what remains of this Seahawks defensive side of the ball. So looking through it then, offensive line, Dwayne Brown hasn't practiced this week. Jimmy Graham hasn't practiced this week. Shaquille Barrett, again, on the defensive side, has a concussion. He hasn't practiced this week. So offensively, like, there's the same amount of injuries clocking up here as on the defensive side of the ball. Mike Davis, the running back, has a groin injury. I'll be talking more about him as well. He hasn't practiced this week either. So we're going through our projections and thoughts in this game. We're obviously going to take that into account. And obviously the short week for the Seahawks let some of those guys, maybe they're more likely to play than not, but basically they won't be practicing full as the week goes along. So Friday will be a key day for a lot of those guys. We want to see limited participation at a minimum, kind of, from the guys if we're expecting them to play on Sunday. So going through it from starting off with the quarterback position for both teams, and obviously talking with Grant, he was talking about how he thinks that people may be a wee bit off in this game, thinking that the 49ers could possibly go on to win this one. I mentioned at the start of the show with my bookie, they are 7-point underdogs. So, and I've looked around the DFS community, around the fantasy football community, and, you know, people are projecting this to be pretty much a blowout in favor of the Seahawks. So on the road, a tough spot sometimes for the Seattle team to travel. I mentioned the injuries and the concerns around that, and obviously the Seahawks, or the 49ers, having the bye week rather to you know, prepare, have a little bit better of a game plan, get things going. I mentioned their injury report is looking very, very healthy for this stage of the season. So Russell Wilson up first, and obviously he is one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league right now, and in terms of especially in terms of fantasy, but he's been playing terrific in terms of real life as well. And I try and marry the two of them together, but obviously that is a differentiation. Sometimes you have to point out that somebody's a very good fantasy player, not a very good player in real life. But Russell Wilson at the moment doing both terrifically well. Over the last 5 weeks, he has averaged 315.8 yards a game, 13 passing touchdowns, and has added 44.4 rushing yards per game on the ground with a rushing touchdown. So he's just really crushing it in all aspects over that there time. So it's been very, very impressive from him. But 49ers have been consistently inconsistent, and that means that they're giving up a lot of yards here to opposing quarterbacks. 7 of the last 10 quarterbacks against them have been able to get up to the 2-touchdown mark. And then, of course, we talked a little bit about the Week 2 game when Russell Wilson struggled against this 49ers defense. He only managed 198 yards, 1 touchdown in that one. But, you know, I mentioned over the last 5 weeks is kind of how he's done. He did start a little slow to start the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does. But, you know, looking here at the GLSP projections up on rotoviz.com, and Russell Wilson, he kind of has, you know, the same floor almost to the high. You know, you have low, median, high, and the floor kind of is 18.9 and 4-point passing touchdown leagues, and then the high is 24.5. So there's a very, very consistent range of outcomes there, which you're going from 18 to 24, which for a quarterback is a very low change in probability. So I think we're going to see him probably finish around that, but people expecting a huge, huge blow-up game, you know, maybe a 30-point game from him, maybe will be disappointed this week. And because there's such a, you know, a favorable matchup here, I think, in particularly in DFS, they're going to be very, very highly owned across the board for the Seahawks. So they are somebody who, if I can, I'm looking to fade. And pretty much in all my lineups I've set so far for DFS this week, in week 12, I have no Seahawks involved. And as we go through, I'll be talking, just the downside could be there, but Russell Wilson, I think, is a safe bet. But I don't think he's going to have that explosive high ceiling that some people are thinking is going to happen with him. On the other side, CJ Beathard will start. We were talking about the possibility of Jimmy Garoppolo starting. It did look like Beathard was going to start all the way through, and it's going to be interesting to see long term what happens with Jimmy G. But he's definitely, I would expect, to be signed to a long term contract with the 49ers. They pretty much have bought in, and I think they're going to stick with him anyway for the next couple of seasons. So we'll see how that contract negotiation goes. But Beathard has been pretty good over the last couple of weeks, and he did injure his thumb in that week 10 victory over the Giants. But the Seahawks aren't the imposing defense they once had. I mentioned when I was talking there with Grant, lost Richard Sherman, Cliff Averill, Cam Chancellor, and I mentioned then a couple of guys that haven't been practicing this week. So it's just kind of a shell off that former defense, as I mentioned there. So there is a possibility here for Beathard to have himself a bit of a day, and I think, you know, rather than go and stock up on CJ Beathard shares this week, I think maybe look at the guys that are around him. But I think the 49ers will be able to put up points this week against the Seattle Seahawks. Then looking at his projections up here on the Gillespie app, well, he's not going to be as heavily owned as Russell Wilson, as I mentioned. You could pay down for him and he's going to, you know, I'm not paying down for him. I don't want him in my lineups, but he has the potential. His outcomes range from 15.1 to 22.4. So not all that different from, you know, what you're paying in terms of price for these two quarterbacks. The outcome versus the price is very, very similar for those projections. I might even rather be on Beathard in this one. So moving along then to the running backs, and this is a place that I think is going to be very interesting. Obviously with the Seattle Seahawks, there's kind of a backfield that's been rotated with J.D. McKissic, Eddie Lacy, Thomas Rawls has been a healthy scratch over the last couple of weeks. Mike Davis has that groin injury. It'll all depend if Davis can go this week. If he does go, I think he'll get the start again, and J.D. McKissic will get some of the work out of the backfield. But there's pretty much you know, none of these guys that I want to be rostering this week in any format, whether it's DFS, whether it's season-long, whether it's redraft. You know, any way around it, I'll just be avoiding this backfield. There's none of them with any confidence that I can say. Obviously, Mike Davis, if you're picking one, if he goes this week, it would be the one I'd pick. But obviously, that injury concern rules him down in my ranking. So the running backs I'm interested are on the other side, and it's Carlos Hyde and Matt Breida. And, you know, with Beathard starting, I think that's going to help both these guys. And if you look at Carlos Hyde, he's been targeted 37 times in the last five games. So he's getting wide receiver targets at this point, and that is pretty much up there. There's only 11 wide receivers during that span to have that amount of targets, and then Christian McCaffrey is the only running back to be targeted more than him over that their span. So when you're looking at Christian McCaffrey and the production that he's putting up, particularly in PPR leagues, those catches and receptions that he's getting, you know, Carlos Hyde is right there with him in that one. So it gives him a solid floor, particularly, as I mentioned, if you're playing DraftKings in the PPR format, if you're playing in PPR leagues, obviously. And the Seattle Seahawks kind of kept Tevin Coleman in check on Monday night, but with those injuries, and then of course with a day's less rest, or actually a week and a day's less rest based on the bye week, I think it'll be an opportunity here for Carlos Hyde. Breida, you know, you could throw him in there as a low cash option in a kind of GPP format, but it's hard. He's one of those players, you're putting him in, you might get a zero, you might get a monster game out of him. You know, monster game being maybe he catches two touchdown passes, but we'll just see. Carlos Hyde is getting all that work. He's getting fed at the moment like a workhorse back. And, you know, if you're looking in dynasty leagues, if your trade deadline hasn't passed yet, he's somebody I think, as him being out of contract this offseason, is somebody that I think is a great opportunity to get there, get him on your lineups before he heads off in the free agent market, because I think he's going to get paid a lot of money in that one. And because of that workload and opportunity, that is going to make Carlos Hyde this week's draft play of the week. And you know, if you haven't checked out Draft yet, you really should be. It's a lot of fun. They're one of the main sponsors here on RotoViz Radio, and you can join the draft pretty much anytime. Just go online, log on, join up on the Draft app. You can just search for that in the App Store, or else you can play right on your computer at playdraft.com. So whichever way you prefer, and for a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make that first deposit. All you have to do is use our code RVRadio. And with it, I've mentioned it here on all the Beat Report podcasts so far. You've probably heard it on all the other RotoViz Radio shows, but there's no salary caps. You play in a real-life snake draft, just like you do with your friends in a season-long league, and get the drafting done. That's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft takes care of everything, even the last-minute injuries. So get involved this week, and Carlos Hyde is somebody I think that might be going under the radar. People might be still thinking, yeah, this Seahawks defense is what it was in the past, and thinking it's going to be an absolute blowout. But, you know, if it is a blowout, I think that still doesn't really affect Hyde all that much, because he's going to get those pass-catching opportunities with those targets that I mentioned. So Carlos Hyde this week, and particularly on Draft, or if you're playing other DFS formats, is a player that I'm trying to lock into those lineups. So check out Draft, use that code RVRadio, and of course get Carlos Hyde in those lineups. So running through the rest of the players now, obviously, again, I mentioned earlier the Seattle Seahawks and how people think this game's going to go. Obviously, Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson's going to be a heavily owned stack this week in in DFS leagues. And with that, obviously, comes an opportunity to pivot away from it. And that's what I will tend to be doing. I might have some shares of Doug Baldwin, but I think I'm going to set it out on this one. If you're looking up on the GLSP app, but somewhere, you know, you might be going in thinking, yeah, Doug Baldwin's going to absolutely rock it this week. You stick his name in to the GLSP app, and then you see in PPR leagues, his low is 9.1, his high is 18.9. So there's a wide range of outcomes there, but there's a possibility in this one that he does hit that low. I just think the Seahawks are going to struggle a lot more in this than people are expecting. So I think Baldwin is a play, but at his current price, he's somebody that I'm avoiding this week. If you're looking in season-long leagues, feel free. I think there's a safe floor there and get you over the line as you head towards the playoffs. But if you're looking in weekly leagues where you want to get that real high upside, I think I'm passing, and based on the ownership percentage, that adds into it too. Paul Richardson, obviously, on the Seahawks, has put up some big games on limited targets. There was a couple of weeks there where he was averaging two or three targets over a certain span, and then obviously had eight targets last week against the Falcons. So Wilson's spreading the ball around a lot more. He favors Richardson in the red zone, which is an interesting pivot if you're going to move away from somebody like Doug Baldwin at a lower cost. And then of course you have Tyler Lockett as well, and you know, the Seahawks are giving him lots of opportunities, and Tyler Lockett's somebody that I really like as a prospect, as a player. And, you know, you talk about prospects and you want them to be turned into players at this point when he's moving along in his career. Still has, a lot of potential, but has had his issues with injuries, and that's really slowed him down. And Paul Richardson, obviously a player who has had injury issues in the past too, has kind of leapfrogged him in the pecking order there. But he is getting those opportunities, but he hasn't been able to get the production. And I think if you're looking at his weekly floor, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've really seen that, you know, pretty much under 5 points over the last three or four games. But he always has that opportunity to break a big play and end up winning you a match all by himself. So I think, you know, there's always that possibility that he does go, you know, for 100 yards and a touchdown. But if you want to take a dart through a lottery ticket this week, trying to fit somebody in, you know, trying to fit in some of those studs at the wide receiver position, and then you have to pay down at wide receiver, maybe Tyler Lockett, somebody you can look at there. But, you know, in season-long leagues, he's somebody who I own in a lot of dynasty leagues, and unfortunately for me and for what I paid for him over the years, he'll be sitting on my bench this week. The only wide receiver really of note that I'm looking at for the 49ers is Marcus Goodwin. And you know, I just want to mention as well, if you look back at his touchdown prior to the bye in that game they won against the Giants, and then the story came out after it with why he was so emotional after the touchdown, his partner losing a child that morning due to complications, and everything just, you know, that happened, and then obviously scored that long touchdown. I think we all want to root for him to have, a nice run for the rest of his career, basically the rest of the season. But it's just, obviously, I wanted to take a moment to mention that. But Marquise Goodwin against the Seattle defense, and we look at the Legion of Boom, we know what they did in the past. But in this here again, we're looking at who can C.J. Beathard hit. And I mentioned he can go to Carlos Hyde. I think he can get an opportunity or two to have a chance in that deep vertical game to go to Goodwin, who does have Olympic kind of speed. We know that. And he's totaled at least 68 yards in four of his last five games. So maybe teams will start to move some coverage his way. But I think there's a nice little opportunity there for him to be a low-owned play with a, you know, I mentioned with Tyler Lockett could have that big game. I think there's more chance here that Goodwin has that opportunity. And he really is a home run hitter. But I kind of, you know, and if we're looking at season long again, he's in that Lockett categories, a wide receiver four, wide receiver five, but obviously he's starting to get those targets, so those targets mean opportunity, those opportunities turn to points. So let's see what Goodwin does this week. On the tight end side, we have Jimmy Graham, and he's now finished as the tight end one in back-to-back weeks. He's just really, when he gets the opportunity, he produces, particularly in the red zone. And I think this week he will have that opportunity against the 49ers, but they've been good against the tight end position this year. And, you know, they've only actually, if you look at it into the stats, they've only allowed a single player at the tight end position this year to go over 54 yards. So if you look at the list that they've faced, and only one of them, and that is the one that went over 54, went over 37. Looking through it, you have Evan Engram, who had that big game prior to the bye for the 49ers. You have Jason Witten, Zach Ertz, Jordan Reed, Greg Olsen, and Graham in week two. So, you know, there's so many reasons that this is looking like a lot tougher game for the Seahawks than you'd expect against a 1-9 49ers team. I still think the Seahawks will win it, but I don't think it's going to be the bonanza that some people are expecting. I think bonanza has been becoming my favorite word, maybe on this podcast, as I try and describe matches, but this game here, I don't think will be that. So looking at the other tight end, you obviously had Garrett Selleck a few weeks ago, who had a big win at a bottom of the bargain bucket price in daily fantasy. Obviously, George Kittle has practiced this week, so he's likely to be back, coming back off the bye. He did miss that game against the Giants, so I'm looking to absolutely have no part of Selleck this week. And Greg Kittle is somebody who could be very, very interesting. I think I put him in that tight end two kind of conversation, and I think that, you know, if he can get into the end zone against the Seahawks team that has had a little bit of trouble with tight ends this season, and obviously I mentioned the lack of options there for Beathard passing it around. You know, I mentioned Goodwin, I mentioned Hyde, and I now mentioned Kittle. think, you know, he has opportunity there to get those targets. And he's somebody that I might have a little bit of exposure to this week in DFS. So looking through the teams there, and I mentioned Hyde being my star player of the week. I just want to go back into it again up on the GLSP app. And you're looking, there is a wide range of outcomes, but in PPR leagues, 5.8 is the floor. And I think that's obviously very safe. What have we seen over the last couple of weeks at the running back position? But the median then, 13.1, and the high is 20.9. And I think, you know, if he can get himself, you know, 8 targets in this game, I think that 20.9 is very, very achievable. So Carlos Hyde is somebody I'm excited to see how he does this week. Jimmy Graham up on the GLSP, we have a low projection for him in PPR of 4. So obviously that's not what you want to be slotting into your lineups at his price. We're looking through it then. We're getting down to the median is 8.5. And then there's a massive spike up to the high, which is 16.6. And that there high, I think, really does take into the consideration of the touchdown upside. If he gets a touchdown added to that median, which I think he's going to be in and around, I think he's going to be in and around that 8 to 10 mark, the touchdown then obviously puts him up to that 16 mark. So obviously we know what we're getting with Jimmy Graham, and we're hoping to get that each and every week. But this week, 49ers, tough matchup against the tight end position. And then I mentioned Kittle. He is very, very similar. But when you're looking at, you know, sometimes you go in, you think, when you really dive deep into these games, you might think some of the stuff that I say might, well, that seems a bit strange that he's projecting it in that way. But, you know, when you go through the projections up on rotaviz.com, it gives you a great, it takes away the kind of script you're trying to write in your head. It gives you the data of what has happened over the last couple of weeks. And you go around different apps, you get to get a clearer picture. And just looking at Kittle, if you're looking at his projections then, in PPR leagues, the floor is very similar to Graham. He has 3, while Graham had 4. The median then 7.5, and the high is 13.2. So for his price, for his projections of what we could see this week, Kittle, George Kittle, is another interesting aspect at the tight end position if you're paying down this week. So running through all those positions, I think they've been all pretty much covered there. So that's going to do us for the week 12 edition of the Fantasy Football Beat. It has been my pleasure as we move through the season here, bringing you the show each and every week. I enjoy getting the feedback as well on Twitter as to what you think of the show, what apps I can use as I break down what players we're going to talk about in the game. So looking forward to some more feedback as the week goes forward here. You can rate and review us as well, of course, up on iTunes. Much appreciated. You can also rate and review the entire RotoViz Radio channel up there as well. Do that as well. It only takes a moment, helps us out a lot as we move up those iTunes rankings. And of course, do retweet the show and so on while it is up on Twitter. So with that said, of course, we mentioned draft earlier, we mentioned MyBookie. Do check those out. They're two great supporters here off the podcast. And until I'm back next week with another show, of course, have a good one. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Beat on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.